Let us bow in the presence of the Almighty and let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do pour out our hearts to you. For you are our rock, our Saviour, our fort. In you we trust and hope. Lord, we confess, like the psalmist, when we look within at ourselves, we see, we feel how weak we are, like a fence ready to fall over. The wicked who reject you and break your law seem so strong and powerful. The world so full of lies. How can we stand against it? Even worse, Father, we look within. We see our great guilt. Our souls are cast down. We are convicted of our many sins. And that there is within us an inner corruption that leads us constantly astray. Lord, we look at our very bodies, how frail and mortal we are, how short human life is, but a breath. And the grave is a fearful thing. But, O Lord God, we thank you that we can look tonight to our glorious Saviour in heaven, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are united to him. We thank you, we praise you for his great victory over all the forces of evil. We thank you, we rejoice that he has robbed the grave of its power. That he sits in heaven at your right hand. That all his enemies, all who would mock him or reject his law, are being made his footstool. That he is coming again with power. That his kingdom will never end. And that you have given to us in your grace a place in that coming land of joy and peace. We thank you that he is our great high priest, that he has atoned for all our sins, even with his own body, which he now presents, risen and spotless before you. And so that we can even boldly and confidently say with joy, we are forgiven. We thank you that he is mighty and all powerful. And that even when our time comes, we will die rejoicing that we go to glory. That we are safe in his hands. That nothing can separate us from his love. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit's gracious help. That in our hearts, we would know the certainty of these things. We ask for the gift of his testimony and assurance, that you would please grant us a peace, a sure confidence of who we are in our gracious Saviour. Please, Lord, fill us with boldness as we go out to face the difficulties of the coming week. Clothe us with Christ. Clothe us with his strength. Clothe us with that sure knowledge that he is our rock and saviour. Please be with us this night, Lord, through your word and sacraments. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Please turn with me to our scripture reading for this evening, which comes from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 2. And we'll begin to read from verse 13 from the Holy Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, from verse 13. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. As the Lord's people, the Bible tells us that we are the called. The called. We have been called by God, called to God, called for God. You might think, for example, of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. God has saved us with a holy calling. In 2 Peter, we are advised to make our calling and election sure. And Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And of course, normally today in everyday speech, the word call doesn't mean very much. We might call someone on the phone. We might call out someone's name. Perhaps we might still say someone has a calling in life, a special vocation. Or if you're American, you might say someone made a bad call. But of course, the Word of God means something much more important, much richer, when it says we are called by God. And of course, historically, the church has enjoyed, has made much of this term, that we are called as Christians. In our passage in Mark this evening, I want to focus tonight just on verses 13 and 14. And the Lord willing, in future weeks, we'll look at the second half, how the Lord Jesus is the friend of sinners. But in these verses, I believe you see God's call in action. As we know, the four Gospels have these four different perspectives on the Lord Jesus. Each one brings out a different side of him that together give us the full picture of who he is. And Mark has this particular emphasis. He likes to show us the truth in action. He likes to teach us important doctrines and truths through the actions of the Lord. Not, of course, that we ever build the doctrines of our faith from just one scripture, but we see them lived out. We see them in power and in practice. And our passage is about Levi being called. He calls Levi, also known to us as Matthew, to be his disciple. He calls him, "Come, follow me." And you see, it's this life-transforming call, a saving call. He's instantly brought from his old sinful life into this new life of repentance and faith, a new life, a restored to God. Now, I would say that the doctrine, the truth that we're being shown in our text is what we today call God's effectual call. God's effectual call. And this is a wonderful doctrine, an important truth for us to try to understand. It helps us understand how the Lord saves us from sin, how he works in us. And it's a truth that should greatly encourage us, especially when you see so many people so resistant to the gospel. And it's a truth that gives glory to God. What do we mean by God's effectual call? Well, before we look at the text, let me just read to you what our confession of faith says in chapter 10, as it is such a helpful summary. All those whom God hath predestinated unto life, and those only, he is pleased in his appointed time effectually to call by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills and by his almighty power, determining them to that which is good and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yet so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. This effectual call is of God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, who was altogether passive therein, until being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. Oh, to help us understand, let's then look at Levi, what that means, what that looks like in a person's life. So what can we say about Christ's call to Levi? Well, that first, it was a personal call. A personal call. Notice the contrast with verse 13. A great multitude, a large crowd is listening to Christ. But then passing by, he sees this one individual, Levi. He picks him out. He singles him out as an individual. A great crowd was listening, but Christ comes to this individual man. The scripture says, he said to him, follow me. He was confronted personally with Christ, just as we are all confronted personally whenever we hear the word of God. But you see how Christ, out of this big multitude, chooses him. He was hand-picked and called. So there's this general message and an invitation to all. But there is also a personal call. Two different kinds of call. A personal call that came by God's will to Levi. Because truly God invites and he calls all mankind, come to Christ and be saved. God does not take any pleasure in the death of even the wicked. Rather, God desires that all men be saved. But in his sovereign choice, God has chosen and elected a people to be given the gift of salvation. And these elect, the Bible calls them. God calls. So it is so important that we have the outward ministry and invitation to all. But behind that, through that, in that, God then has this special call known only to him, where he reaches out and grabs hold of a soul and says, come. And that's what you see in this distinction, the difference between Levi and then this special call that comes. A personal call. It's an incredibly humbling and heartwarming if you are a Christian. It's humbling because it means we owe everything to God's grace. Was Levi looking for Christ? Was he out doing something good, working his way to what? Not at all. Here's a man at the tax office. Here's a man set in his sin. Christ comes. It's all from Christ. It begins with Christ. Why are any of us Christians? Is it because of something in us? Because we were smarter than others and we understood the gospel was true? Is it because we're more deserving? Or because we've been better religious people? Well, in the words of Paul, may it never be. We're all hopelessly lost in sin. And there's nothing any of us can take credit or boast in. If we're Christians, it is only because the Lord has shown us mercy and has called us out of lostness and bestowed mercy on us. We owe everything to God's amazing grace. That first step comes from Him. Our hearts like stone in our fallenness. We cannot repent and be saved. We cannot overcome our sins. We're not willing to do so. We're in bondage, the scripture says, to the power of sin. When God starts to work in our lives, there's nothing there for Him to work with, nothing spiritual. Everything's been tainted or corrupted by sin. Even the good in us from creation, that image of God has been tainted by sin. There's an hostility to God even. As Paul puts it in Romans 7, in my flesh, my fallenness, there is no good thing. And so when God saves, He begins the work. He must change us and draw us to Himself. And He does it through this powerful call. There's an analogy the scriptures make in the second letter of Corinthians to the work of creation. How just as in the beginning there was nothing, not even emptiness. There was no life, no raw material. But God spoke. And that powerful word created all things. This call is creative. He finds the same emptiness and darkness in us. But God speaks into us. The light of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. As Romans 4:17 puts it, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Or can I dare say, better yet, He calls those things which do not exist into existence. So how gracious this call is. As Jesus explains to the Pharisees in verse 17, I've not come to call the righteous, those who would think they are righteous, but sinners to repentance, to be changed, to new life with God. Christ calls sinners. He didn't call Levi because he was good, but to make him good. Didn't call him because he was worthy to be a disciple, because of anything in him. He called him because of God's grace. It's this call of God's unmerited free grace and love. So we give all the glory to God. Now, how humbling is that? What do you have that you did not receive? That's not been given to you? That's true of everything in life and everything in a spiritual sense. So it humbles us. But this truth is a personal call. It's heartwarming for us. If we know that God's salvation is all of grace, then we can ask, then why not me? Even me. If it depends so totally on His mercy, then no matter how sinful I have been, I can be forgiven. And Christ is calling you now, even through this sermon, follow me. And it means the Lord knows all His people personally. I don't mean in a sense that God knows all things, which of course is true. But I mean in the sense of knowing, when we sometimes talk about the intimacy of a relationship. He knows each one of us as Christians personally. His love for us is personal. He calls and chose you. As He later says to the disciples in the upper room, you did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should bear fruit. And those wonderful words of John 10, He says, my sheep follow me, for they know my voice. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own." So what do we mean when we talk about the effectual call? It's this personal call of God, as he personally calls every Christian. Secondly, it was a purposeful call. Purposeful. By that I mean, it gives new purpose to Levi's life. We know he becomes Matthew, writer of the first gospel, an apostle, part of the foundation of the church. And this call restored his dignity as a human being. It gave him his role back. Because notice his name, Levi. Now that can only mean that he belongs to the priestly tribe of Israel. The one tribe that had been set apart to have the honor of being priests to the Lord, to minister in the holiness of the temple and to worship. And yet here he is as a tax collector, a hated and despised collaborator with the Romans, lying in his own pockets. What's he living for? To gain wealth and privilege. So what a degrading fall from the glorious purpose God had made him for, made in the image of God, called to be a priest to God. He was never meant to be in this moral gutter. Christ's call lifts him up and restores him. That's what God's call does. It renews our humanity. It makes us truly, fully human to fulfill this wonderful purpose we have to be his children. To commune with God. Levi would commune with God more than he would yet know at that moment. He was the friend of Jesus Christ and sits down to eat with him. What a picture of what we're all going to be enjoying when the call will come and we're called to glory. We'll sit and feast with Jesus Christ and commune with God. The tragedy of modern life is how human beings are being degraded. Modern thinking has said, well, we don't need God. Man can do anything. But what do you actually see as the result of that? As human beings, we're being increasingly emptied of our worth, increasingly degraded. So now we're just animals. Now we're just a byproduct of meaningless random atoms and chance. And life has no greater purpose other than you come to die and that's it. And then in day-to-day life, look at the sexual degradation. The degradation of all that's holy and worthy and beautiful. But Christ's call comes to make us glorious, to make us good, to lift us up to God. And he restores to us that sense of mission that we've been given, to go out and fill the world with God's glory. What a turnover to go from sitting here, keeping the books, as Levi's doing. Now he's going to become a fisher of men. He's going to be part of this glorious, everlasting kingdom. And this call has come to us to lift us up. Even one day when our bodies have been broken and will go to the grave, the power of this call will rebound on and we'll be raised up and be glorious even in our bodies and we'll live. So the wonderful, wonderful, purposeful call of Christ. And again, how heartwarming. However you have fallen in the past, however useless or degraded you felt, or unworthy, Christ is calling you now. Be healed. Be whole. You have an honor to come in your future. And so how we should pray that God keeps extending that call out to people around us to give people's lives true happiness, true meaning, his glory. How we need his Holy Spirit to work effectually this call in people's hearts. You see again the contrast to the crowd and Levi, how important it is we faithfully minister God's word. And how we need to pray that the Spirit is at work invisibly. And so third thing you see is the power of Christ's call. How powerful it is. How Levi is drawn up out of his old life, irresistibly. As he sat there that day, think about all the things from his past that would have been holding him back from getting up. Like invisible, heavy weights around his ankles that would have stopped him following Christ. There's the pull of worldly wealth. His money probably literally on the table before him. And all that brought with it, a life of relative comfort and ease and status. How that pulls at all of us. Or perhaps there would have been the chains of just fear, guilt. How can a despised tax gatherer like me belong to this holiness movement of the Son of David? How can I hope to be accepted and forgiven? How will these others accept me? These good Christians. Oh, the shame that he'd have to confess the wrong that he'd done, how we'd been living, how we'd cheated people, how we'd have to put it right, how all those things could have just kept him in his seat. Or he could have said, the radical change that this demands, a whole new way of living, of serving others, and to be clean and to keep God's law. How on earth can I do that? All these things and so many more could have been pulling him back. But the call overpowers them all. When Christ speaks and he calls, he irresistibly pulls. Every chain is broken. And Levi comes willingly. By all of this, we're not saying it's a power that makes us robots. It's not a power forcing him against himself. Rather, it's a power that has changed him. And made him willing. It's such a powerful call of drawing him to Christ. In an instant, he gets up. Instantly. It's so powerful. If you want another picture, think of Christ calling dead Lazarus out of the tomb. What life was there in Lazarus to even hear? All the powers there in the Word. And as he walked out, it's so in the same way spiritually. Jesus calls and he saves. And so powerful, it's with real lasting effect. So that very night he puts on this banquet and invites his friends so they can come and meet Jesus. It is a powerful call of love. So powerful that it melts down our resistance. It shines through the fog of our doubts. And it has that ring of undeniable truth. You know it when you hear it. You're convicted. You know it's true. Perhaps you cannot remember when you first heard the voice of Christ. Maybe as a young child that call began. You might have resisted it, run away from it for many years. You didn't recognize that it was him calling you. But over time you were pulled. You were overwhelmed. You heard, you recognized, you could not escape it, and the call won your heart. You recognized your master's voice, and you were set free. Your chains fell off. The great encouragement that the call is so powerful is that it means truly no one is beyond hope. We can never say it's too late. We can never say someone's too far gone. His power can and will overcome those whom he calls, no matter how resistant. And God might call the most unlikely people like Levi, who might be the furthest away. Those who resisted him the longest, he can wear down. What this should give us tonight as we press on is great confidence, a sure confidence, holy boldness, that God will call, God will save, and we should positively expect it. And not give up, not be discouraged, even if the harvest is long in coming. With a call, to God be the glory. Let us pray. Our Holy Father, We thank you for your mighty voice in Jesus Christ, by which your Holy Spirit has called us out of our sin and unto you. Lord, we are humbled by your grace. What is there in us to make us differ? Nothing. But we give you all the praise and owe all to your grace. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us a clearer understanding of the truth, that we would be empowered in our service for you. And we pray, Lord, and ask that as we seek to faithfully declare your word, that you would call many for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let us sing together a psalm about the Lord's mighty voice. We'll sing together Psalm 29.